This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is a perfect day for Herbstlaub Trittfeuergenügen. That's German for kicking through piles of autumn leaves. Literally translated from autumn foliage strike fun. Or Geheimgangsverlockung, the conviction that all large houses must have secret passages. Ever thought there should be a German word for that? Well, there is, courtesy of Ben Schott, author of Schott's Miscellanies and annual almanacs that have sold millions and been translated into more than a dozen languages. Last fall, we spoke to Ben after he completed a kind of translation of his own, a compendium of compounds to describe the inexpressible. It's called Schadenfreude, German words for the human condition. When we spoke, I asked Ben Schott, is this where English fails us, that we don't have a word to describe instinctively curling up your toes in mortification at someone else's embarrassment? That, by the way, is number 107 in Ben Schott's book. It's called Fußfaust.
It's interesting. English seems to turn to German in moments when we're perplexed, embarrassed, or unable to describe certain emotions. So everything from the commonplace angst to the more unusual Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude is experiencing pleasure at other people's misfortune. Now, there's no word in English, but Schadenfreude seems to be the perfect German word. So English has borrowed these German loan words for these strange emotions and sensations.
So these compounds can often be of many syllables. Can you pronounce all of them?
I can pronounce, yes, most of them. There's 120 words in the book. There's two or three that I find very difficult. But I'm proud to say I can pronounce the longest, which is Karfesteugs Innenaufstattungs Neugerusgenuss, which, as I'm sure your listeners will know, is the German for new car smell.
Well, you have references for all of these words in the entries. Now, why describe this, which I do believe is a particular flavor of air freshener? You can get new car smell air freshener, I think.
The new car smell was something of a joke. I like the idea of creating an incredibly long compound word for something that was very easy to say. But some of them are German words to describe things that really aren't easy to say. So we have, you know, a whole series. You mentioned one before, which is Herbstlaub Trittvergnügen, the joy of kicking through autumn leaves. But it's also, in a stepping way, there's Leertretung. Leertretung, which is literally void stepping, is when you step down heavily on a stair that isn't there in the dark, and you feel totally like your world's been turned upside down, like gravity's been switched off, and you feel very stupid. That sensation is Leertretung.
Let's hear some of these words pronounced by someone who isn't me from the Op Art podcast on New York Times opinion pages, where you are a frequent guest. Some of the words from Schadenfreude being pronounced by Dr. Oscar Bantlau. I guess it was a collaborator of yours, yes?
Absolutely.
Let's hear a few.
Mundphantom. Feeling that the thermometer is still under your tongue after it's been removed.
Seigarnik Frustration.
The gnawing sense of incompleteness, knowing there is a partially eaten snack lying around.
Dornhöschenschlaf.
Feigning sleep to avoid unwanted sexual intimacy.
I have to say, they are so fun to listen to and so fun to try and say, even if I'm getting it absolutely wrong.
Well, there are some that are incredibly inherently pleasing. One of them, I wanted to create a word for that feeling, that instinctive knowledge of the thing that gave you food poisoning. You know, you're there, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you go, it was the salmon mousse. It was the oysters. And so we came up with Bauchgefühl, Bauchgefühl, which is literally gut feeling, gut feeling.
Give us a little background on that, though. You know, how do you determine need for these kind of words? You have a little note here that the travel site TripAdvisor has more than 26,000 reviews mentioning food poisoning, many of which illustrate that people know exactly what made them sick.
Well, the idea of creating these words started with finding a void for a word. So it literally happened on a car journey in 2008 when I was with my wife. And I said, you know, isn't it bizarre that the journey on the way back always seems so much shorter than the journey on the way there? And I said, there should be a German word for that. I bet there's a German word for that. And I emailed my friend Oscar, who helped me with the book. He's a professional Bavarian, so he knows what he's talking about. And he said, well, there isn't, but I could construct one. So he constructed this absurd polysyllabic word. And that idea stuck with me because German is a language that you can create these compounds, and it does all the time, everything from doppelganger to, I don't know, or a rucksack, for example. And so what I wanted to do was create new compounds for words which didn't exist, but sensations that we really felt as part of the human condition.
So what did you do? Keep track of words that you wanted something, some way to describe the ineffable, and came up with them?
Absolutely. I have a list of several hundred words that I thought needed to exist. And some of them are absurd, and some of them are more serious. For example, Unsterblichkeit Tod sums up the intimations of mortality when your last surviving parent dies. And anyone who's experienced this will know there's this tremendous sense that it's now your turn, that somehow, you know, the ceiling of your parents has been removed and it's just, you know, you and eternity. So Unsterblichkeitstod is a pretty dark German word for a pretty dark human experience. So they're not all frivolous, and some of them really plumb what I hope are the depths of, you know, everyday life.
Why do you think German is the language for this?
Well, I think it is technically possible because you can create these compounds in a way that you can't in English without making puns, which are always sort of lighthearted. And partly, I think it's something to do with the sort of Middle European past. So I think it's the fact that, you know, Freud wrote in German, you have Freud and Jung, you have the birth of psychoanalysis, you also have writers and thinkers like Schopenhauer and Nietzsche. There's something about that culture that seems sort of elegantly introspective, unlike maybe Italian, which may sound more poetic, or English, which I think is funnier and more glib. German has a depth and a seriousness that is useful to describe serious things and quite amusing when it's describing frivolous things.
Tell me again the word for instinctively knowing what gave you food poisoning.
Bauchgefühl, Bauchgefühl.
Now, I want to note that you said it was the salmon mousse. The exact same culprit as in The Meaning of Life, Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Okay, so where are you getting these sources from? I see in the press notes it says Justin Bieber, Groucho Marx. Where does Justin Bieber come into this?
Well, actually, seeing you ask, and I'm not sure you want to have this on your radio show, there is a word which is fishneedling, which is bestowing nicknames on your sexual parts or the sexual parts of another, which some lovers, I am told, do. And I have two references to this, because every word has references, times in the past, historically, philosophically, where writers have described these things. So this, the bestowing nicknames on your genitals, there are two sources. One is from D.H. Lawrence, Sons and Lovers, which is a very serious highbrow, and the other is Justin Bieber, whose fans nicknamed his manhood Jerry. So it depends whether you want highbrow or lowbrow, but if you're doing it to your bits or the bits of your lover, then there is a serious cultural reference that you can touch upon.
Okay, well, so we do, I think, frequently use doppelganger or Gesundheit, certainly, Zeitgeist. But do you really expect people are going to pick these up and start using Einsiedelei? That's the melancholy of cooking for one.
The lonely kettle, yes. The answer is I don't know. I think some of them are catchy and short enough that might get picked up. I mean, for example, Leertreitung or Betrug, which I mentioned, possibly. Some of them are just joyful and absurd. But this book, Schadenfreude, is also bizarrely coming out in Germany, in German. So there is a German edition. This is completely and utterly glorious. Knaus, the German publishers, have bought the German rights and they translated it back into German. So this book now exists in Germany, and I'm told there are people who aren't quite certain how much these words have been made up and how much they're real. So I'm hoping an elaborate confusion arouses and these words just sort of enter into the ether, into the zeitgeist even.
Well, Benshaw, you design all of your own books, right? And which are more sort of objects than books. So how do you expect this to be used? I mean, coffee table passed around as gifts? What?
Well, frankly, as long as they're read, I don't really mind how they're used. It's a long, thin hardback. It's a strange shape because some of the words are very long and Germanic. And as you sort of hinted, there are the German words, mm-hmm. but then on the left-hand page, there are these very, very detailed footnotes. So I try and really go back and really explore the facts. Say, for example, the word Kissenkühler Labsal, which is one of my favorites. It is literally cool pillow refreshment, and it describes the joy, the ineffable joy of turning a cold pillow in the middle of the night and resting your head on it, that wonderful sense of chill and relief. Now, this has been described by some remarkable writers, including Goethe and Proust. So this sensation that you might have tonight goes back, has been described for hundreds of years by amazing writers. And it's that sense that nothing we experience is new. All of these sensations are something old and traditional and have a past and now have a German word.
Ben Schott, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
And Word of Mouth continues after a short break with the curious tale of a 19th century patent for dentures, a dentist, and a murder. Stick around for that story if you dare.
Schon von ferne hört man's klingen und die Vögel in den Zweigen singen.